Misunderstandings are a part of life. Sometimes they happen because of language barriers, where a slight mispronunciation, even the incorrect emphasis on the wrong syllable, can totally change the meaning of what you're trying to say. Other times, misunderstandings happen because we use the same word but mean different things. I read about this in the last week about a parent who said, "My toddler was at the playground and she was about to hit her head on a bar that she was walking by. And so I called out to her, 'Duck!' She turned and quacked at me and then ran into the bar." Same word, different meanings. Now, some of these misunderstandings are humorous. Others can lead to disaster. Relationships have ended. Wars have started. Lives have been lost over a simple misunderstanding. And in the spiritual realm, we see religions and cults that emerge from misunderstandings of the truth. One of these very basic misunderstandings is about the identity of Jesus. This was even an issue during his life on earth. We read in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 16, one such occasion. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" He's basically asking for an opinion poll. And they said, "Well, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Still others, Jeremiah, one of the prophets." But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." There were many answers to that question. Who is Jesus? Many misunderstandings about his identity. Now, the ones they listed here, I think we would say are positive. They were identifying him with John the Baptist or Elijah or Jeremiah, one of the great prophets. They thought he was a great teacher. But they were missing who Jesus really was. As we're going to see in our text this morning, sometimes the misunderstandings weren't so kind. Some ways in which people answered that question was not nearly as nice as the ones that the disciples presented to him. And we see in our own day, people misunderstand who Jesus is. We'll see that some identify Jesus with an angel. Others just think he was a good human being. But Jesus was very clear about who he was. And despite the fact that some of these groups say that Jesus never claimed to be God, never claimed to be the Son of God, we find today that he most certainly did. And when he did, there was no misunderstanding of what he was saying. So as we continue to study Jesus in the present tense, the various I am statements of Jesus, we come to one that is maybe a bit confusing at first glance, but maybe the most profound statement Jesus made during his life here on earth as to his own identity. So if you have your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We find Jesus is teaching the people and his enemies are close by, waiting for him to say something that they can turn on him and twist in order to arrest him and put him to death. Now, to appreciate the context, I want to go back in this chapter, and I'm going to ask you to bear with me a little bit. It's a bit of a lengthy passage, but it shows you what leads up to what Jesus says. Okay? So, verse 31 John chapter 8. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We're Abraham's descendants. We've never been slaves to anyone. How can you say we'll be free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father." "Abraham is our father," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," Jesus said, "then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you're determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did no such things. You're doing the things your own father does." "We're not illegitimate children," they answered. "The only father we have is God himself." Jesus said, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and now am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you're unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you only want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he's a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you don't believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you don't hear is because you don't belong to God." Just a little tension in this dialogue, isn't there? It gets ugly pretty quick. I mean, Jesus starts out by talking about liberty, freedom. That's something we can all appreciate. And he says, "If you listen to my teaching, you're really my disciples, and the truth will set you free." To which these Jews said, "What are you talking about? We're Abraham's descendants. We've never been slaves to anybody." I'm going to be honest with you. There are times when it amazes me how restrained Jesus could be. How he does not break out laughing, rolling on the floor at this statement, I don't know. All he had to say was, "Hey, do you see those Roman soldiers all around us? You're talking about being free? You've been under oppression for the last 700 years. And you're going to say you're free? We've never been slaves to anyone?" Now, he doesn't go that route because they're thinking politically. He's thinking spiritually. And so he says, "Well, I'll tell you, anyone who sins is a slave to sin." There's a spiritual bondage that he's talking about. And it is from that that Jesus promises freedom. Now, I know slavery's a bad word these days. It brings up images we don't want to think about or talk about. So let's change the word without changing the meaning. Here's one that we all can relate to. Jesus said everyone who sins is an addict to sin. Oh, we can relate to addiction, can't we? You know, we got addictions list a mile long. Recent studies have suggested that 1 out of 3 Americans are addicted to something. Some of it's obvious, some of it no one else knows. But it's real. And they are held captive. And deep down inside, they want to be free. Jesus has a different idea, though. He says, everyone who sins is a slave or an addict to sin. And I ask you, who does that include? Everyone. Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Jesus says, it ain't 1 out of 3, it's 3 out of 3. everybody is an addict to sin. They're held in bondage, and they need to be set free. And they're saying, we're free. We're fine. We don't know what you're talking about. They say, Abraham is our father. They can trace their lineage right back to Father Abraham. Imagine that. They didn't even have Ancestry.com. They didn't have the internet, but they knew who their forefathers were. But Jesus takes issue with that. He says, if you were really Abraham's children, you'd bear a resemblance. You'd act like he acted, and you don't. He believed in me. He followed me. You don't. No, you have a different father. Your father's the devil. Now, them's fighting words. All right. No one's going to stand for that. What do you mean my father's the devil? I want you to notice something that he says in verse 41. They say to Jesus, we're not illegitimate children. And the implication is, like you are. See, people had heard the stories. And if you'll pardon the crassness of the language, Mary was knocked up before she got married. And then there were these stories about, you know, Joseph's not the father. Then who is? And so the implication here is, you're illegitimate. We know who our parents are. They're trying to one-up Jesus. They're trying to show that they're superior to him. This is a low criticism, a low blow, you might say. We're not illegitimate children, like you are. Well, Jesus goes on to say, if God were your father, you'd love me, but you don't. You'd listen to me, but you don't. And he says, why don't you understand me? And the problem wasn't that they could not understand, they would not understand. They would not believe. Now, we have a saying some of you are familiar with, especially if you know anyone from Missouri. Show me, and then I'll believe. Seeing is believing. You know what the Bible tells us? Believing is seeing. It's only when we have our faith in God that we see the truth. And Jesus says, your eyes are open, but you aren't seeing. Your ears work, but you're not hearing. Because your father isn't Abraham. Your father isn't God himself. Your father's the devil. And you wouldn't know the truth if it slapped you in the face. That's in the Greek. You wouldn't know the truth because all you believe are lies. So we have this very hotly contested dialogue going back and forth. And the Jews keep insulting Jesus. We pick it up in verse 48. The Jews answered him, aren't we right in saying that you're a Samaritan and demon-possessed? First they said he was illegitimate. Now they're calling him a Samaritan. Now I looked up all my commentaries to see what they said they meant by calling him a Samaritan. Frankly, I think they all missed the boat. Remember who Samaritans were. Samaritans were the people from the northern kingdom. They were the 10 tribes of Israel. Judah was the southern kingdom. And when Assyria came and destroyed the northern kingdom, they did take some of the Israelites back with them, but they transplanted a bunch of people from other countries they had defeated to live in Israel. These were all Gentiles. And in time, the remaining Israelites intermarried with the Gentiles, And now you don't have true Israelites. You have what? Half-breeds. That's what Samaritan means. You're a half-breed. You're not even an Israelite. Now, why would they say that about Jesus? Go back to what I had said earlier about the rumors that were swirling around him. His mother was pregnant before his parents got married. There's stories that Joseph is not the father. Then who was? Probably some Roman soldier in Sepphoris, which was a town just outside of Nazareth, which is supposedly Mary's birthplace. She probably got knocked up by some Roman soldier, so he's not even fully Israelite. He's a half-breed. And if you can imagine the venom just kind of dripping off of the words. This is a racial slur that they're throwing in the face of Jesus. You're not even one of us. You don't belong here. Who are you to talk to us? We're Abraham's children. You don't even know who your father is. And if you did, you probably wouldn't admit it. Very low criticisms that they're launching at Jesus. Jesus kind of ignores the slur. He goes on to say, you know, if you listen to my teaching, you'll never experience death. Death here is in the emphatic place in the original language. Death he will not see. Very similar to what he would say in chapter 11. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. He who believes in me will never truly die. And they're like, you're out of your mind. What do you mean never die? Abraham was like the greatest Israelite ever. He wasn't really Israelite, but you know, he was the father of the Israelites. Now, his face would be right up there on Mount Rushmore if Israel had one. Father of his country. Abraham died. What about all the prophets? They proclaimed God's word. They died. Who do you think you are? So then Jesus gets right to the point. He makes a very lofty claim. Look at verse 54. Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim to be is your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I'd be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." Jesus is saying, the Father in heaven is the one who glorifies me. I'm not doing this myself. He is the one who has sent me. And your forefather Abraham, he rejoiced at seeing my day. Now this has really got them, their heads spinning. What are you talking about? You're not even 50 years old. You say you've seen Abraham? Now if you look back at what Jesus said, Jesus didn't say he saw Abraham. If anything, it was more like Abraham saw him. But, you know, people like that don't let the truth get in the way. They twisted it around to say, you're trying to say that you've seen Abraham, you're not even 50 years old. Now, why would they say 50? I mean, the Bible says Jesus was about 30 when he began to preach. At this point in his life, he was probably in his mid-30s. Why would they say 50? Well, understand, back then life expectancy wasn't as long as it is now. And usually the retirement age was 50. That was true for the Levites anyway. They stopped serving when they reached 50. So by putting 50 out there, they're saying, you're not even retirement age, but you've seen Abraham that lived 2,000 years ago. It was just their way of putting it into that kind of a statement. You're not even retirement age, but you saw Abraham. Right. And then Jesus drops a bombshell. Verse 58. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, before Abraham was, I am. Now, some of your Bibles will say, before Abraham was born, I am he. Those words don't appear in the original. Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. Now, I know some of you, if we have any English teachers out there or those who are really particular about grammar, say, wait a minute, Jesus, you used the wrong tense there. Should have said, before Abraham was, I was. No, this isn't a mistake in grammar. This is a statement of theology. Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. It's the same Greek phrase, ego am I, that he's been using all along. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. Every time he uses that same phrase, but now it goes unqualified. Before Abraham was, I am. What's he saying? I'm God. He's taking the name that God gave to Moses back at the burning bush when Moses said, who am I say sent me? When they asked me, what God sent you? What do I tell them? And God said, you tell them, I am sent you. It's that Hebrew Yahweh. It's the name of God. And Jesus says, I am. And you know what? There was no misunderstanding at all. Why? The very next verse says the Jews picked up stones to stone him. Is it because he used bad grammar? I don't think so. In fact, if you want to know why they did that, just turn over a page or two in your Bible to chapter 10. John chapter 10. We'll pick it up at verse 30. Jesus, again, is teaching, and he concludes his statement with these words, I and the Father are one. Very simple. Again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him, and Jesus said to him, I have shown you many great miracles from my Father. For which of these are you stoning me? I love his sense of humor. Jesus is saying, just to be clear, which miraculous sign are you stoning me for? And they said, oh no, it's not for any of those. Notice verse 33. We are not stoning you for any of these, but for blasphemy. Because you, a mere man, claim to be God. They knew exactly what he was saying. And Jesus doesn't say, whoa, wait a minute, guys. You misunderstood. That's really not what I was saying. Basically, you go on in the chapter and Jesus says, yeah, that's what I'm saying. What are you going to do about it? It's exactly what I'm saying. I am. And that's what Jesus says to us today. There is no doubt who Jesus taught that he was. There is no ambiguity at all. He doesn't say that I was Lucifer's spiritual brother, like the Mormons tell us. He doesn't say I was the Archangel Michael, like the Jehovah Witnesses will tell you Jesus was before he came to earth. Oh no. He's very clear, I am. I believe that if we were to go back to those statements that we've been examining over these weeks, that it would be theologically correct to read them this way. I am the Lord, the bread of life. I am the Lord, the good shepherd. I am the Lord, the way, the truth, and the life. every time he used those words, he is declaring, I am God. Not a creation of God, not an angel of God. I am God, the Son. And the people of his day knew exactly what he was saying. Because his disciples said, you are the Son of God, and his enemies tried to kill him for saying the same thing. And that leads us to a logical conclusion. Jesus claims to be God. So how can we understand that? C.S. Lewis wrote in his book, Mere Christianity, I am trying here to prevent anyone from saying that really foolish thing that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level of a man who said he was a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. You may, either this man was and is the Son of God, or he's a madman or something worse. You can shut him up as a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense that he was a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. You see, it's very simple. We have demonstrated from God's word that Jesus claimed to be God. That is unmistakable. And there's only two choices. Either he was or he wasn't. So let's take hypothetically that he wasn't. If Jesus claimed to be God, but he wasn't, he either knew that he wasn't or he really thought he was and he wasn't. If Jesus claimed to be God and he wasn't and he knew that he wasn't, he's a liar. If Jesus claimed to be the Son of God and he wasn't, but he really thought he was, he'd be a lunatic. Or, Jesus is who he said he was, and he's Lord. Those are the only options we have. Great moral teacher doesn't fly. Philosopher doesn't fit. He's either a liar, a lunatic, or he's Lord. And those are the only choices we have. So, as we close, I want to ask you the question Jesus asked his disciples. What about you? Who do you say I am? And your eternal destiny rests on your choice. Now, you may say, I believe that Jesus is God the Son, that he came to earth, took on human form, lived a perfect sinless life, died on the cross for the sins of mankind, was buried, rose again on the third day, and he's in heaven. You would be theologically correct and still lost. The question is not merely, is Jesus Christ the Lord? The question is Jesus Christ my Lord? Because it must be personal. Only when we put our trust in him and receive him as our Lord and Savior are we saved. See, our beliefs don't alter the facts. I could say to you, when we're done with this service, I'm going to get up on the roof of the building which those of you who know me know that's pretty unlikely in itself. But just bear with me. And I believe that I could step off the edge and walk on air. I really believe it. Would that change the fact of what happens when I step off the edge? Nope, you'd be calling 911. Because I'd be right in the concrete. It doesn't change the fact of who Jesus is. But when you acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it will change your life. It'll change everything about you, and it will change where you spend eternity. So I ask you this morning, who do you say Jesus is? Is he the Lord? Is he your Lord?